Worried Fed officials talk more accommodation and stimulation. Even the IMF warns about big market moves ahead. And more on gold's Asian future. I'm Charles Goyette, and this is your Freedom and Prosperity Commentary for Monday, October the 14th. First of all, a look at the week ahead. We'll hear about the increase in the producer price index for September on Wednesday. After having been flat and changed for August, the consensus calls for the PPI to have increased 0.1% in September. Also on Wednesday, the retail sales report for September with an expectation that it will come in down 0.1%. The September Industrial Production Index comes out on Thursday, along with the Philadelphia Fed's Business Outlook Survey on Thursday as well. Congress remains on break until after the elections in November. So last week I told you that Fed officials would be fanned out across the country with speeches. I counted 11 of them. Here's a note about one. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said Saturday that he sees inflation staying below the Fed's 2% objective well past 2017, he said. Accordingly, he's calling for the Fed to refrain from raising interest rates until 2016. Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer, in a talk at an IMF meeting this weekend, tilted the same way, saying, if foreign growth is weaker than anticipated, the consequence for the U.S. economy could lead the Fed to remove accommodation more slowly than otherwise. Last week's market action seems to have scared the lot of them. Apparently now the Fed has added responsibility for stock prices to its employment and stable prices mandates. So they have been taking accommodative positions. Stimulus, stimulus, more stimulus. Economist Robert Wenzel says it's worse than having a drunk teenager behind the wheel. More this weekend about the center of gravity in the gold world moving to the east. The Wall Street Journal reports on new Asian gold exchanges as follows. The Shanghai Gold Exchange, it writes, was launched in September inside the city's free trade zone, offering yuan-dominated contracts backed by gold held in Shanghai. This week, Singapore will offer its own contract, and later this year, CME Group, Inc., which operates in Chicago and New York, plans to start a U.S. dollar-denominated contract in Hong Kong. Last year, gold purchases in China and India totaled 2,250 tons. Compare that to the total ETF gold holdings of only 1,811 tons. And so despite London having been the center of gold bullion trading for 300 years now, China is both the leading consumer and producer of gold, and so the center of the gold world continues to shift. And finally, as we launch into a new week, what could be a continuation of last week's gut-wrenching volatility, I'd like to make sure that you've heard a little of what even the IMF now says in its new, in its October Global Financial Stability Report. Let me just read a couple of sentences that I've lifted from the report. First of all, the extended period of monetary accommodation, by that they means money printing like quantitative easing, the extended period of monetary accommodation and the accompanying search for yield are leading to credit mispricing and asset price pressures, increasing the chance that financial stability risks could derail the recovery. And one more, they write, policymakers and markets need to prepare for structural higher market volatility. Doing so requires strengthening the system's ability to absorb sudden portfolio adjustments. And of course, the phrase sudden portfolio adjustments refers to sharp moves and market crashes. Now, one doesn't normally look to the IMF for alerts about market excesses, but this bubble is so big that even the IMF couldn't really miss it. And that is your Freedom and Prosperity Commentary for the new week. I'm Charles Goyette.
For information on how to order Charles Goyette's Freedom and Prosperity newsletter and more, please log on to moneyandmarkets.com or call toll-free 1-800-291-8545.